The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Good morning and welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church on this beautiful summer morning. To both you who are in person and online, we're so glad you are here, and we pray that you would experience the restoring power of Jesus here today. I have just a couple of announcements. One, we welcome back the summer choir again this week. Some familiar faces, new and old, back into the choir loft to share their musical gifts with us. So please, during fellowship hour, thank them for their gifts, because they come a little bit early, get up a little earlier to come and practice. I also want to say thank you to the Bryans, particularly Rick, for bringing his vegetables to bless us with. When you go to fellowship in Holman Hall, there are veggies for you to take. So please take some and enjoy. I also want to bring to your attention a note that's both happy and sad. Today we are sending off Steve and Patricia Turner, who are moving to be closer to family and who are leaving our community. And we want to wish them the best. So I would actually, and I didn't tell them I was going to do this, but I'd like to invite you forward. So that we can pray for you both. Not just Patricia. Many of you, I've only known them for as long as I've been here, but many of you have known them for much longer. The ways that they have served this community and have been a blessing to each of our lives. And so we send them out, not in total sadness, though we mourn that they won't be with us every week, but with joy, knowing that they're going to the next step of their journey and God is guiding them on the way. And so as we pray for them, I invite you to reach out your hands in a sign of blessing as we pray. Let's pray. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, as we are pilgrims in this barren land. Lord, your word tells us that the history of your people is often a history of moving. You called Abraham out of his home in Ur to settle in the promised land. You took Moses from his adoptive home in Egypt so that he might find his true home among your people. And our Savior Jesus wandered the Judean countryside far from Nazareth so that he would fulfill your plan of redemption in Jerusalem. And we, your people, now wander and move as we await the coming of our kingdom home. Lord, this day we lift up Steve and Patricia as they are making a move. We pray that you would bless them and keep them, that you would guide them on the path, so that they may find their new home to be a place of joy and gladness. We thank you for the ways that they have participated in this community, blessed this community. We thank you for the ways that they have touched our lives in ways known and unknown. Lord, we know that it is good when we dwell together in union and communion with our brethren. And we feel the pangs of loss when they are far from us. But as we send them out, help us to remember that even as we are separated by space, we are united in Jesus. So we thank you and we praise you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
They also didn't know this, but we are having special fellowship time with all sorts of goodies and gifts in Holman Hall. There are also a number of cards that people have written for you to take, so please greet them when we go to Holman Hall. Are there any other announcements for the good of the body? Let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Please rise as you are able and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Lord, who has gathered us to worship, now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, it is good to give you thanks and to sing the praises of your name, O Most High. We declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. When we were slaves to sin, you redeemed us in the cross. When we were dead, you gave us life by Christ's resurrection. So we worship you. Attend our worship, we pray, by the work and power of your Holy Spirit. Draw us closer to one another and conform us more and more into Christ's likeness and image. And let us not leave this place without knowing you have met us here. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Therefore, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
hear our Savior's words. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Nicene Creed. Christians, what do we believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic Church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you who spoke your word to us in Jesus Christ and preserved through the centuries a record of your word for us, send now your Holy Spirit to open our ears, our hearts, our minds, and our lives, that we may hear again and ever anew your word to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our scripture this reading comes from the book of Psalms, the fourth psalm. As you may know, we are working our way through the Psalms. Last week we dealt with Psalm 3, and now we're working through Psalm 4. I know that sounds silly, but it's important because scholars have connected Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 in some of the underlying themes, and themes, but different focuses, foci, right? So that some have said that Psalm 3 is really, can be described as a morning hymn, like in the morning. He talks about his waking up, right, and his praising God in the morning. Psalm 4, if you'll notice when we read, has a lot of going to sleep and bed imagery. So it's been classified as an evening hymn or a nighttime prayer. So you'll see that if you were here last week, there's some connecting lines between Psalm 3 and Psalm 4 in terms of themes, but the way that it brings those to light is different. So let us turn to God's word as written in Psalm 4. To the lyre with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you can remember the first prayer you were ever taught. The first prayer you were ever taught. Maybe for some of you it was the Lord's Prayer in church every Sunday, week after week. Maybe it was your mealtime prayer. But I think for many of us, especially if we grew up in Christian homes, the first prayer that we learned was our bedtime prayer, taught to us by our parents as a part of our routine of teeth brushing and bedtime stories. My bedtime prayer growing up was passed down from my mother's side, and it begins in a common way. Maybe you know this one. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. There was a little more that my mom added from her childhood, but it's much longer than the regular prayer, so I won't bore you with that. But these bedtime prayers, no matter what version that you prayed as a child, they were often very simple. And they had a rhyming scheme, usually. But at the core of them, they expressed a childlike trust. A childlike trust that one could rest easy in the Lord. But as we've gotten older, I think that we find that some of these memorized prayers begin to ring hollow. How can we find rest when the world is as it is? We live in a time that is not characterized by rest, but characterized by restlessness. The restlessness of the nations, wars and rumors of wars, political and social polarization, the poor downtrodden, the orphan oppressed. The restlessness of our own hearts, overwhelming feelings of lostness, of loneliness, maybe of worthlessness. Anxiety and pain, the weight of the world on our shoulders. And if we're honest with ourselves, it can be easy to push these things aside or disguise them in the day. We put on a good face. But in the night, we toss and turn, driven to insomnia by a relentless unease in our own hearts. Seems like there's no time for bedtime prayers when all that we are is restless. The good news is we are not alone. For in Psalm 4, we find David praying in the midst of nighttime restlessness. Now, we don't know the exact circumstances which occasioned the writing of these words, but there was plenty in David's life that fit the bill. Before he was king, being pursued by Saul, who saw him as a threat. During his reign, betrayed by kinsmen and sons alike, as we saw last week, David often found himself in positions where his honor suffered shame. His life was restless. Now, for us Bible readers, we should be hearing an echo from the prophet Nathan when he spoke to David after he fell with Bathsheba, saying, "Now the sword shall never depart from your house." Restlessness. With the state that his life was in, David had every reason to be completely consumed by his circumstances. And in some cases, as we'll see in Psalm 6, he was overwhelmed to the point that he flooded his bed with tears. That's the language of the psalm. There was no earthly reason for him to find rest or to say any kind of bedtime prayers in the midst of suffering, of vain words and lies. Yet what we see in Psalm 4 is that in the darkest hours of the night, in the darkest state of his heart, David did not give in, but he turned to God and he prayed. "Answer me when I call, O God of my right. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer." I said last week that when we face trials, God calls us to remember who he is and what he has done. Here, David does the same. He remembers how the Lord sets apart the faithful for himself, how God hears when David calls to him. He remembers how God put gladness in his heart and makes him lie down in safety. You should be hearing echoes of Psalm 3 in there. Calling all this to mind moves David from a state of restlessness to rest, to a place where he can lie down and sleep in peace. When he had no earthly reason to rest, God gave him sleep in the night. What a simple faith this is, to trust in the Lord for rest when he was surrounded by restlessness. Remember, David isn't naive about reality, and he doesn't think that everything's going to be magically fixed. This isn't the power of positive thinking. Instead, David rests because he knows that the God who once heard him can do it again. He knows that the God who once made him glad can do it again. He knows that the God who kept him in safety can do it again and promises to do so. David rests because he knows the God in whom he trusts. Now, I must admit that this, for me, has been a difficult message to write. Over the course of this week, I found myself asking, "Lord, this is really the word you've given me? This is the word you want me to give to your people? That in the chaos of the world, in the disquiet of our own hearts, we can rest, we can sleep in peace because you've got us? Really?" The world is so much more complex than that. A simple faith like this, is this even real? That should have been the sign that this message was meant for me. Because as I continued in my study, I was confronted by Jesus' words echoing from Matthew 18, to have faith like a child. To have faith like a child, not a childish faith, one that's naive to the world, one that doesn't involve itself in the sufferings of others, in helping those in need, not a childish faith, but a childlike faith, a trust, a simple trust in God and in God's promises, one that leads us to face the world, to be the presence or the vehicle of God's presence in our community and in our world, yet one that can still find rest in those long nights. God calls us, especially when things seem dark, especially when his presence is clouded from us by the realities of our world. God calls us to make that childlike leap of faith, to reach out, knowing that God promises to be there to catch us and to give us rest. And we can make this leap only because we know the one who makes us lie down in safety. Because we know him, and we are known by him. This is why David writes, "When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." He beckons others to come and do as he did, and find rest. Basically, David is saying, do not let the things that disturb your mind and heart, do not let the things that disturb you in the world turn you away from God, make you break relationship with him. This is a temptation for all of us. I'll tell you, it's my temptation every day. But instead, we are called to turn to God in the long nights, to bear our hearts with its hurts and its troubles, to put our trust in the Lord, and to find our rest in him. I'm reminded of the Saint Augustine quote, "Lord, you have made us for yourself. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." My friends, you will face the uncertainties and worries of this world, and they may cause you to be restless in the night. But in those moments, turn to the Lord. Reach out and put your trust in him, for God hears you when you call, and he alone makes you lie down in safety. Bedtime prayers are not just for children, but for all who have childlike faith, to all who rest in the Lord. Amen.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Our covenant God, in the chaos and uncertainties of our world, you promise to make us lie down in safety. We hear and believe Jesus' words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So take us this day in your loving arms, and in the long night, let us rest secure in you. And hear us now as we pray, lifting to you our cares. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all others who suffer from whatever we may call their suffering. O Lord of Providence, holding the destiny of the nations in your hand, we pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders, that they, together with all our nation, may seek first your kingdom and righteousness, so that liberty and peace may dwell with your people. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divides your creatures. Increase in us the recognition that we are all created in your image. O Savior God, look upon your church in her struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on her weakness. Bring an end to her unhappy divisions and scatter her fears. Look also upon the ministry of this church, which you have called Hebron. Increase our courage, strengthen our faith, and inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Author of grace and God of love, send your Holy Spirit's blessing to your children here present. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts,
as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." If this is your first time worshiping with us, or if this is your 600th time worshiping with us, I would invite you to fill out the connection card in the pew in front of you. I don't know why I'm looking at the choir. They don't have those. The connection card in the pew in front of you, if you have any prayer requests, or if you're worshiping with us for the first time, to get a little bit of information, we'd love to just connect with you. I also want to let you know that if you have a change of address ever, that's the best way to get that information back to us so that we can have your current address. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Therefore, let us offer our life and labors to him.
Almighty God, you pour out your gifts in abundance upon us, and so we dedicate this but a portion back to you for the building up of your church, for the proclamation of the gospel and the glory of your name. Sanctify these gifts and sanctify us to be good stewards of them. And in all things we give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
gentlemen for some fellowship and to give our good wishes to the Turners. God promises to us that in the darkest night, when all seems lost, that his light will break forth upon us and he will give us rest. So trust in the Lord and live for him all your days. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.